It's the Bob Dean Show. Yay. Yeah. This is episode 71.
Mm. Woo, all right.
Thank you very much. Yes. We're hovering at 12,000 downloads on iTunes alone. iHeartRadio app, please follow me on there. Us Ooh. On there. I know. How cool
Ooh,
is that?
Yeah.
That's thanks to George Norrie. You know who George Norrie is?
No.
Coast to Coast AM. You ever heard that program?
It comes
yeah.
On.
Yeah. George Norrie is it's the number one syndicated show in the world, and he's a good friend of mine. And
thanks
to George, I'm on iHeartRadio. Thank you, George. But of course, of my own merits. Sammy Junio, my producer again. Hello,
because
those you went. Dennis Olson is out in the parking lot doing something. Hi, Zach Herndon.
Hi, Zach.
And he is my technical advisor in Bloomington, Indiana. Hopefully coming back to the Southland soon. We have Sarah. What is your last name? Sarah Taylor is here.
My co-writer and my BFF. Uh-huh.
Jody Carroll Harrison.
Yeah.
Amara or Amara?
Amara.
Amara Cash. And please?
Alex Bloom.
Alex Bloom.
Yes.
Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
I'm so pleased to meet you. Thank you for having
us. Thank you for coming, and thank you because I know that we had technical issues where we had to cancel before, but I'm so glad you're here. And your movie, Daddy Issues,
yay,
is premiering tonight.
Yep. We have a screening tonight.
Screening
tonight. And then we premiere on April 19th.
Hooray for you.
So we'll be available on iTunes, on video on demand, and then also in select theaters across the country.
Oh, that's so exciting.
And on any cable station you'll be able to,
okay.
Right?
Now, here are the little notes that I made last night. Oh, Alex Bloom.
Your hair is a little wonky from the headphones.
I want to
fix it.
Oh, goodness me.
Oh, listen, I'm glad you never told me that when I looked like the friggin'
what is that, honey?
Bob, your hair is fine.
Yeah. What's left of it? I had this little patch right here that it was like this one day, and the camera angle. I was wearing a red polo shirt, and I looked like a friggin'. I was like, and then when I saw it, I was like, why didn't anybody tell me? So you look beautiful now. Okay,
thank you.
Director Amara. Say it again.
Amara.
Please. And Alex Bloom, screenwriter.
Yes.
And producer is Jenna Sidici.
Sidici.
Yes.
Now, I was watching the trailer. I watched it about 5 times last night.
Nice.
Because it looks amazing.
It's Thank amazing.
You. Yeah.
Wait until you see it tonight.
I can't wait. And, of course, the main stars are Madison Lawler and Montana Manning, correct?
They are amazing.
Yeah. And all the reviews are outrageously over the top great. So congratulations to you guys. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yay.
And it won a ton of awards.
And you, I was just saying, an exciting new talent is a quote from Inside Out Toronto about your talents.
Yes.
So congratulations.
Yeah, it's my debut feature film, so my first feature-length film as a director. And after taking it around to festivals for a year, we won some awards. We got to watch it with audiences. We're just so excited to release it wide, finally, this
Congratulations.
Friday.
Yeah, it's the winner of the best U.S. narrative feature, right?
Mm-hmm.
From Outfest.
Mm-hmm.
So this is so exciting because me being a homosexual myself, sorry about anybody that didn't know that.
Even though we were husband and wife.
I know. We'll get on to that.
In a play
twice.
Yeah.
And we're such a dysfunctional family. Are you familiar with Gay Hollywood Wedding at all? It's an interactive play.
I've heard about it, yes.
It was really a great show.
Heard about it on Bravo.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were Philip and Sharon.
We originated the roles.
Yeah, absolutely. And we were great because we were the very uptight, conservative, Republican country club and parents of the blonde-haired, blue-eyed football player who came out of the closet and we had no idea. And he was marrying a Jew.
Yeah, of all things
a
oh
Jew.
Oh, God. And I could say that because I'm Jewish.
Well, I'm gay, so it's okay for us.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
We can, you know, and not that I run around screaming about it, but it's okay for me to say things like Persians and that sort of thing. I think.
Anyway, back to daddy issues.
Yeah, daddy. Tell us about the film. Now, first of all, where are you guys from? Where are your homes? Where are you from originally? Or Angelina's
and
native?
How did the two of you know each other? How'd you meet?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Sarasota, Florida. I grew up there, being involved with theater and media in Florida. I was doing regional theater right before I moved to Los Angeles. So right at my senior year of high school, right after high school. And Alex got a job in Sarasota at the regional theater, Sarasota, Florida.
Florida Studio Theater.
So we met in the theater like 14 years ago.
Oh, that's so cool.
And that how about you, so Alex? Cool. Where are you from?
Well, I am originally from New York City. Yeah. And then, thank you, Jody. Yes, yeah. That is correct. Then I moved, my family moved us to Connecticut because they didn't want me to go to high school in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And then I met Amara in Florida. I was the director of improv comedy down there. And I moved to Los Angeles almost 9 years ago.
Well, no kidding. That's great.
Yeah.
Now, are you a gator?
I have family that are gators.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, no, personally.
Connecticut,
yeah,
what part?
Wilton, Connecticut. Well,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Very nice. Very nice.
Yes, thank you.
Well, now I'm an actor and a comedian, which means I'm a bartender.
Okay.
But and I'm even out of work right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the restaurant closed.
Shut
it's okay.
Up.
As soon as I have to tap into that $67 in my savings account, I'll start to worry, but everything's cool right now. I got a dingy apartment but three really cool cars, so I can live in the station wagon.
True.
But at any rate, so I want to hear the intrigue of the movie, the characters. Seriously, the trailer is just brilliant. And, of course, you're the most brilliant. I was listening to you're going, you're going to be the biggest designer in all of Los Angeles. It's great. So how did you get the idea for this? Tell us everything. I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, so I wanted to do a love triangle with a sexually fluid character for a while, for many years. I just found that as a bisexual woman myself, I wanted to do something that had a duality to it and a character that was kind of trapped in between two people. And so from there, we started developing the script. And go on, Alex.
Yeah, we actually had worked on this for a while, and we're trying to find, a fresh way of bringing that love story is obviously fresh in and of itself, but mm-hmm. the story, we wanted to be something interesting and progressive, and we went back and forth with a lot of different things, and we were having a meeting about it, and we thought of an idea to kind of base everything around, and from there we went off, and we tried to, in writing it, really make something that would resonate not only with the LGBTQ community, but also with independent film lovers and just people who appreciate a crafted story that brings out elements of humanity.
Yeah, and it's so intriguing, the trailer.
Mm. Cool.
And it's just beautifully shot. The characters are terrific. I want to learn all about the eye makeup that she's wearing, et cetera. And I want to know, I don't want to be a spoiler for anything, but I want, there's a blonde woman that, who is very suggestively, says, well, why don't you get out? Remember that point? And mm-hmm. I don't know who that character is, mm-hmm. but it's just leads to intrigue.
So there's a twist here that we don't want to give away about right. the film. So that's kind of why we're walking on eggshells around the plot. But the film, it's very inspiring. It has alternative lifestyles. One character's more into a kinky role play. We obviously have a young lesbian character as our lead character, Maya, and she kind of gets wrapped up in this world that's maybe a little too adult for her. It's really a coming-of-age story. She's a young girl, and we're watching her become a woman.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the trials and crazy things that she has to go through to get to following her dream are some of the twists that we can't give away.
I want to interrupt real quick. Tara, do me a favor. Can you open that door to see if Dennis is sitting out there and ask him to come in? Is that okay, Sam?
Yeah.
Dennis, come on in.
Okay.
Yeah, come if you want to. Chop. We're filming in here. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be rude about that, but we'd love to have you join us, buddy. Okay, where was I going with that?
Well, Jody plays one of the lead characters' mothers. There's this character, Jasmine, who's the fluid one, who's mm-hmm. kind of into a lot of different types of lifestyles.
Mm-hmm.
And Jody just brilliantly portrays her mother, Bobby. She's really the scene stealer in her big scene. And wow, her performance is just something really special.
She's amazing, isn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, she brought so much to the role.
She's amazing.
Thank
so
you. It's
very,
all about
very
choices. It's all about choices out there.
Yeah, Dennis is joining us now again because we're talking about the movie, and it's very exciting.
I remember that, like, I think that was, like, for those actors out there that don't do the self-tapes, but now it's really big. But, like, 2 years ago, is that when?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a few years
so
ago.
So was I had to self-tape myself, right?
For the callback, yeah. You came in for the initial audition, and I met you, and you were amazing. And then for the callback, you were out of town, so you sent in a
New
self-tape.
York. Yeah.
You know, the self-tape things are awesome, but mine is always too many gigabytes or whatever, too big.
Right. You have to figure that.
Speak faster.
Is that what you said, right? Hello, Bob.
Well, you know what? I have someone that the actor's concierge. I'll give you all of her information. She does everything for you. Plug for Deb, the actress concierge.
Say it. Shout it out.
Yeah.
Jodie plays a character with mental illness. How did you approach that, and how did you feel about playing that type of character?
Yeah.
Because you're the one person in the film that has, like, a legit mental illness that we kind of touch on a bit.
Yeah, so how I approached it was I had to root the character, and I didn't want to go overboard where you would, like, think that she wasn't real. So I actually did some research online, and I looked up some videos of people that had that. What is it called again? I can't think of it.
Bipolar disorder.
Yeah. It sounds like I have it right now. No.
You heard that first on the Bob Dean Show.
Yay. So,
please go ahead. Sorry.
So that I did that, and then I just rooted her into the relationship because Ivana Chubbuck is my training with Ahaga, and it's all about the relationship and how much I love my daughter. And that's where I went from there. That's how I made my choices.
Well, it's very complex. It's just brilliant.
Yes, she's very complex. Yeah. When I look at her, it's someone else. It's not me. It's like, oh, okay. Mm.
Well, you're an amazing actress, and I'm so proud of you.
Because,
look, I'm going to turn the page just for a minute. Yay! Now, I was watching some of your reel last night. And the one thing I was totally cracking up about was you were playing Diana Diamond in the process.
Yes.
Love it when you're like, somebody bring up my car.
That was actually an improv in my audition. Talk about choices. So, yeah, The Process is a series. You can watch it online. It's a web series, and it's it's about this young guy that's an actor that lives in Los Angeles, and he goes to these acting classes, and I'm his acting teacher that I'm also an alcoholic, and we had to do that.
With the flash.
Yes, it's hilarious. So, yeah, so
Just like in Gay Wedding, girl.
Except
you're on pills, too.
So go ahead and watch it.
Yay.
But Daddy Issues, the Bobby Jones character, is totally different from that Diana Diamond character. Yeah.
Well, I also, all my friends are getting married. When you come into the room and you're like, who coordinated this shower? It's a long drive from the valley.
Oh, yeah. That was a...
Are those sandwiches over there? They're so tiny.
That's so funny. That was actually... What's his name from Saturday Night Live? That's one of his projects. His name again?
I'm sorry. Where is this place?
John Belushi?
No.
Where is this guy?
Lorne Michaels.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there? I'm sorry, everybody.
That's cool.
Now, hold on. Let me plug this back in. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, so if you want to talk about me, I'll talk about me.
I want to get back to the movie.
Fine.
I'm on my way. Listen, this is my show, okay? Now, Monty Markham is in the film.
Yes,
and Monty Markham is a very seasoned, accomplished.
Yes.
I've been a fan of his for many, many years. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go, but his character is...
Is who, yeah.
No, I mean,
so his character is, and in the film we have this young girl named Maya, and it's kind of her journey. So she's an artist. She's feeling trapped. She wants to live outside of her little, you know, her community and where she's from and kind of escape and be free and study art. She's obsessed with this girl, Jasmine, online on Instagram, just completely infatuated with this fluid, out there woman that's just kind of owns her sexuality and her art and everything about herself. They finally meet. They hit it off. Maya finds out that Jasmine actually has a sugar daddy. So that sugar daddy, his name is Simon, and he's a neurotic, kind of tormented, tortured guy. And he has a father who's kind of the touchstone in the film of some type of grounded reality. And that is who Monty Markham plays, our sugar daddy's mm-hmm. father.
Well, you know, he you know, he did a couple episodes of The Golden Girls.
Yes, he was Clayton.
He was Clayton. But that was pretty cutting edge for the, yes. you know, the late 80s.
Yeah.
Because he was such a handsome man. And the whole, I don't know if y'all are fans of The Golden Girls, but I am huge and I know everything about it. And, you know, same. Blanche, of course, being from Atlanta and, you know, the Devereaux and Hollingsworth. Mm-hmm. And but, you know, it was totally it, you know, and for him to come out.
Yes,
and of
his course character was the first gay character on the Golden Girls.
Exactly,
Gold
and then
yes.
and then, but then he came back for a second episode right. with his
husband. He was getting husband. Married, yeah.
right, to a cop,
right.
Uh huh. And she didn't want them to come to the reception for Rose or whatever. But Monty Markham, yeah, it was really a groundbreaking character.
Well, it's kind of funny because I have a couple of friends who are also into the Golden Girls. I have a lot of writer friends, and we always say like. Watching a Golden Girls like taking a writing class. It's all these brilliant writers who then went on to do all of so many shows that we love, Arrested Development, so on and so forth. But when I told a couple of them, like, yeah, we're gonna have Monty Markham and Daddy Issues, they're like, Clayton,
mm-hmm. Clayton, exactly.
Yeah. Clayton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Steamy.
Yes.
Well, I also must tell you that Marsha Posner Williams. One of the producers of The Golden Girls has been a guest on The Bob Dean Show.
Yeah.
With her husband, Wayne. And she's amazing. And we had a lot of fun talking about, you know, the show and other topics as well. But yeah, brilliant, brilliant writing all the way around. They touched on a lot of issues. AIDS in mm-hmm. the beginning. Remember mm-hmm. when Rose thought, you know, the blood transfusion and,
yes.
and just a lot of things like, you know, it was just a brilliant show.
It certainly was.
Who doesn't love it?
And it's so nice to have someone who played, when it was, at a time when he played that character, it was so cutting edge just to have an out gay character on
absolutely.
TV. And now here we are in 2019 where all of our, in this film, all of our characters are out. They all have some, you know, a different type of lifestyle in one way or another. And for him to kind of come back and now play this like grounded character who's kind of the touchstone of the film, it's just a beautiful thing to have him involved in a queer film.
What's
really
also
beautiful.
Oh, sorry. What's also interesting is, you know, Clayton was this, it was a big deal for him to come out. And then he came back and got married. And something that we were very cognizant of in this movie is, you know, like Amara said, it is 2019. In fact, even if Amara didn't say it's 2019, the reality is it's 2019. So I got one fan over here. All right, good. Stick with me. You know, we wanted to not have we obviously wanted to have an LGBTQ character and movie, but we didn't want it to be a coming out story again.
So coming out stories are extremely vital for our community, and we've seen quite a few of them over the years, and it's important and vital, like I said. But for this film, we wanted to do something different and say, when we meet the characters, they're already out. They're already who they are, and let's just get them together and see how they interact.
Brilliant.
So it was about who they are in their circumstance, not necessarily their sexuality. Mm-hmm. Their sexuality is just who they are. So we watch that play out in a way that is organic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And that was important to us to do something to kind of take the next step.
Well, your film, you guys, is going to be groundbreaking.
Thank
well,
you.
We'll
you
know? See. We'll
I'm
see.
Sure it is. I know it's funny, too, because the whole thing about like, it's like I am 58 years old, despite the fact that I look like I'm 74.
Oh, please.
And when I had my prostate exam, my doctor goes, "Well, you have the prostate of 64-year-old." I'm like, "I'm 58." But anyway,
does the 64-year-old want his prostate back?
You tell me. Anyway, but what I was going to say though is that at that going, but you know, not talking about coming out, but why Monty Markham's character was so intriguing to me is because at that point in my life, I was still in the closet. I didn't come out until I was 28.
Mm. There go.
And also the Golden Girls, not going on, but the first, the pilot episode, they had a gay cook. Did you ever see the first episode?
Oh, I didn't realize that.
And that poor guy, he got written out after the first, his name was like Paco or something.
Oh, in the house.
Yeah, in the house. Yeah, he was like their cook. And right. I guess it just didn't work, but he was like really flamboyant. And for like 1985, I think it was the season premiere, that was wild, you know?
Well, I'm glad they brought it back and had Monty then.
Absolutely.
Glad that they addressed it again and didn't just sweep it under the rug. That's awesome. Go Golden Girls.
Yeah. Hello. Miss Marsh Pleasant-Williams and Wayne, I hope you'll come back on soon.
Yeah.
When I came out, my mom, I come from this huge football family. My mom was a cheerleader. My dad was a quarterback for us, or the captain of his high school team, blah, 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 blah. And I came out at 28 years old on Christmas Eve after a cocktail party. Perfect timing. I said, Mother, I have something to tell you. I'm a homosexual. And it was hard. Like, seriously. And she looked at me. My mom, you know, she's here right now, as a matter of fact, which I always say, because we have a psychic that comes on the show, and my mom's always around. As soon as I found that out, I'd never masturbate again, because she's always watching. But anyway, I said, Mom, I'm gay. And she wasn't excited, but she said, you're my son, and I'll love you forever. Aww. And then I said, Mom, I have something else to tell you. I hate football. And she like dug her fingernails into my shoulder. She looked at my dad. She goes, did you hear what your son just said?
She's
Robert, that's sacrilege. You're going to burn in hell. What am I going to tell the neighbors? So, okay. Now, Daddy Issues. I wrote down the production company, but I forgot. It's
Under One Roof Productions.
So mm-hmm. Alex and myself, we co-founded Under One Roof Productions in 2012, and this is our first feature film now as a company.
Oh my gosh, you must be so excited! I'm excited for you, but I know your adrenaline's going. Yay!
It's
we're
very
excited that we set a goal to make the first feature. You know, we started off doing marketing and advertising, short films, you know, short form content. And we set that goal. We're going to make that first feature film. And now here we are. It's coming out this Friday. So, yeah.
It's very
we're
exciting.
Stoked. Yeah.
Now, it was shot on location all in Los Angeles, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And West Hollywood.
Well, there's a little surprise at the end. Yeah. But we don't want to give it away. But for the most part, right in West Hollywood, yeah.
Excellent.
It's so beautiful. Wait till you see it.
We love the city of West Hollywood. Oh, I've always loved the vibe here. It's like such an accepting, beautiful place, West Hollywood, so we really wanted to embrace that and have our characters get to thrive.
Yeah, right, and it truly is. It, you know, I lived on South Beach for a long, in Miami Beach, when it was cool, like a long time ago. And that's what it was, a pioneering community in that respect as well, because, you know, I've got like 40 years on you guys. But yeah, Miami, South Beach was, it was a, it, you know.
Does your prostate has 40 years on us?
I didn't want to talk about the urination at night and all that stuff. Please, how many times? But anyway. But yeah, I mean, it's especially, you know, the thing about it is, too, is that even though in television and film, you know, being gay is so much more accepted, or it's still a huge thing for young women and men to deal with.
Yes.
You know, even I would think that's a little bit more acceptable now and that sort of thing. But still, you know, kids don't want to come out because they're terrified of their, you know, that was my big deal, is that I didn't want my buddies or my family to be embarrassed.
Right.
And they, my three, Keith Garson, Jeff Teeple, and Dale Pacwa, love you guys. Handsome, successful, blah, blah, blah. We were the foremost kids. And I was like, I didn't want them to, and they were the ones that were the most aggravated that I didn't tell them. They're like, how could you not trust us?
They really love you.
Exactly. They were like, don't be a douche, man. And my brother, Greg, hey, I love you. Same thing. I was like crying at the airport when he picked me up. I'm like, oh, okay. He goes, who didn't know that, man?
I could have told you that.
Yeah. But I mean, the whole point of me bringing that up is this film is also going to be something that's going to give comfort and guidance to a lot of young people. Because, you know, I don't know. Coming out, as far as like, you know, we're here, we're queer, get used to it kind of thing. Whatever it takes, whatever you want to do, it's up to you.
Right.
You know? And that's what I do in my comedy act too, and it's true. It's like, you know what, I make a joke. I'm like, I'm the kind of queer that hates fags. Right? Because it's comedy, all right? So don't be offended. But I also go into this thing. I'm like, let me tell you something. I, you know, I hid for a very long time. And I said, you know, if you got a problem, and I did this on stage. I'm like, if you got a problem with it, that's fine. But if you come up to me and tell me about it, I'll kick the crap out of you. And I fight dirty, too. I bite and I kick and then I run fast as I can.
For me, I've had kind of the opposite experience in a way. I grew up with a very accepting mother. She's always been an ally to the queer community long before I was born. And then now I live in West Hollywood. I've lived here for 14 years. So I've kind of been in this bubble where in my world, it's totally accepted. Mm-hmm. So when I came out, it was like, I have a girlfriend. Yay. Like there was no judgment. And then when I go in public with my girlfriend, that's when I realize, oh, everyone's not cool with this. Like, this is a thing for people. And for me, growing up in such a liberal, eccentric, accepting home where my step-in uncle was a drag queen. And that's who we loved. Like, that was, like, my family.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't have that awareness that it was still so judged and such a struggle for so many people across this country and across the world.
Mm.
So for me, when I make art, it's just like I'm free and I'm out there, and hopefully it will encourage other people to just be themselves.
Absolutely. And you know what? I hate that friggin' term, middle America, that they use in New York and Miami and
well, it's the whole world.
But people are like, oh, you know, middle America, the flyover states, you know, blah, they're the ones that are so ignorant. There is just as much, not there, but even here,
absolutely.
You know, it's just like I said, I am out of the closet, and I've been blessed with great gigs in Beverly Hills and that sort of thing, and everybody knows, you know, because I don't run around going, hey, Mary, or anything like that. But if somebody's like, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, what I got, you know, what, but then sometimes I hear somebody go, hey, can you believe he's a fucking cocksucker? You know, the whispering to me, you know, and then I'll turn right around and go, hell yeah, and I'm great at it too. Ooh.
Amen.
Well, that's great.
What's nice about Daddy Issues, though, it will resonate with this community in different ways. So I don't want to go too much away. So that's another reason why it's going to be.
And I love Daddy Issues because also I don't think we're just really catered to a queer audience. Like
exactly.
We have straight characters.
That's
we have
I'm
a lesbian.
Saying.
We have someone who's fluid. It's really just a story about love.
Right.
And about family and you know, not letting your past dictate your future and not letting what your parents put on you control who you become. You can still become whoever you want to become. You don't have to just become your parents.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it will resonate with a much larger, wider audience than just the LGBT community.
Sure. Well, let me ask you this too, because you've used the term queer several times.
Yeah.
Which I mean, is it making a comeback? I mean, seriously,
because it's a generational thing, even though it means
odd, strange, whatever. But I mean, you know, it's the same thing as you know. There's so many what do you call it? Revelations of terms, you know. So, I mean, I'm fine with it. I think it's very cool that you're saying, you know, queer.
I use queer as just an umbrella term. I know not everyone does. So sometimes I'm like, sometimes people are like, well, why are you saying queer and not LGBTQAI?
Because it takes too long.
So I'm just kind of like, I kind of just use it as an umbrella.
Yeah.
But I didn't grow up with that being a bad term.
Yeah.
So that was, I never heard that as like a, you know, as a derogatory thing.
I mean, I think, I guess what I'm saying... that quick is that it just rolls off the tongue and it sounds natural and accepting and
why can't we reclaim that word and make it strong and powerful, you know, like heck yeah, I'm a queer.
I'm queer and I'll kick your friggin ass, beep. You're so queer, Jetty.
I am very queer.
Do you still have your Rolls Royce? Oh, I'm not supposed to bring that up.
I also like using the term queer because there's also kinky in this film. There's people that are kinky that are straight, and I like the word queer because it's kind of an umbrella for anything and everything. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's why I use it.
Well, we only have a few minutes left, and because my producer Sammy Jr., who I love, she has other gigs, but give us a queer umbrella over everything now. Dates, times, again, just let our audience know more about Daddy Issues.
Yeah, so it's April 19th. So for a full week, we will be in theaters, but April 19th, we're wide release. iTunes, video on demand, so any cable channel, any cable network that you have, just go in your on-demand section. The film will be there. Google Play, pretty much anywhere you can purchase a film. YouTube, anywhere where you can do that transactional purchase of a film online will be there.
Excellent.
And you can also, sorry, Jody, you can also log on to daddyissuesmovie.com. All that information is there, and you can also see the trailer, a lot of the original artwork, original fashions of the movie,
as as well as at Daddy Issues Movie for Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, at Daddy Issues Movie.
At Daddy Issues
and
Movie.
And I just want to add, if and when it's in the theaters, you really should go see it because it's a masterpiece on the big screen.
Do you want to name off our 11 cities real quick?
Sure.
Yes,
we'll,
please.
We'll be in, I can name all 50 states in less than 30 seconds, but I'm not going to do that now. We will be in Seattle, Boston, Detroit, Miami, Orlando, Los Angeles, Syracuse on May 19th. So can you play just that part on May 19th? And Minneapolis. And I believe that is all of them.
That's awesome.
We've got Riverside, Los Angeles, Detroit, Seattle, Minneapolis. We've got Fort Worth, Houston, Orlando, Miami, Cleveland, Boston, Syracuse. So if you're in those cities, you can see it in the theater. Otherwise, watch it online.
Bravo. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's freaking awesome. How much time do we have?
Yeah, 5 minutes.
5 minutes. You want to play Just Jump?
What's Just
Jump? Sure.
This is just
tradition. Bob your prostate? Because maybe not.
On the Bob Bean Show. Yeah. Yay.
That was very funny.
Now, this is a traditional game that we play now, hosted by Dennis Olson over here, and it is Amy Vanderbilt's 1957 Etiquette Guide.
I love it.
Dennis reads the question, and we as a panel collectively try and answer it correctly.
So, now, do we have to sit properly?
You can do whatever you want.
Because now, it's but etiquette.
We all must be quiet for just a moment so Dennis can do the introduction that I love so much.
Just jump.
I think she was pushed. Okay, Mr. Olson, please.
No, she's
And I worked in a nightclub in Miami where a guy jumped and came through the bar roof and his legs were hanging out. It was tragic, but I'll tell you, that's another story. Please. Oh, my God. It was horrible.
How many drinks should the hostess figure per person at a cocktail party? And what are appropriate drinks to offer?
Do we, like, have to bang? Or, like, what do we just
No, we just discuss.
My guess is two.
And I absolutely agree.
I think it's three. And what was the second part of the question?
What types of drinks should she offer, or the hostess?
And what are appropriate drinks to offer?
Now, in 1957, it would be martini.
Pete Martini. Yeah.
Because wine
was... Old-fashioned.
Gin gimlet, old-fashioned, you know, whiskey sour kind of thing.
Yeah. What about a champagne?
Champagne cocktail.
Yeah, so... Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
A champagne tonic. Cocktail.
Yeah. Oh, that's classic.
Okay, what's the answer?
It is usual to figure three drinks per person for a cocktail party. Some guests will take one drink, some none, and some three or four. But it works out to an average of three.
Makes sense.
Most liked drinks are martinis, Manhattans, scotch, rye, or bourbon with the usual mixers. It is often possible to arrange to have unused bottles returned to the hotel bar or liquor store furnishing the supplies.
That's at my cocktail parties. You think it's Johnny Walker Black? Ha!
Very funny.
One more. Do you have one more? One more.
I was going to talk about cars if you wanted you have stunning three cars. Talk about them.
Well, okay. Well, he's looking for another question. Okay, first, I want to talk about your. You have a Corniche convertible.
Yes.
That you don't like to. She doesn't brag about it, but it was. I will.
No one knows anything.
Well, no, but it was a birthday gift from your husband Rob, who is so friggin' cool. Mm. And when we were doing Gay Wedding, the play. She's like, I have a surprise for him.
Because I know he loves cars.
I love cars. And here she comes. I see this big white Rolls coming around the corner.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And awesome. I'm like, I think I know the guy behind the wheel. But there's this blonde with this big hat. And it was, because you're like a little tiny baby.
Oh,
and
I love
big,
that.
Yeah.
And is it a vintage?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
It's gorgeous. It's white with a camel interior.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
my favorite.
Amazing.
It's the exact car that I always wanted in the year. And Robert surprised me for my birthday.
And you know what? That man loves you. And I know you love him, too.
And where do you park it? And where do you keep the keys?
We...
Exactly.
We'll go out one day.
I would love to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be so fun.
Yeah, but you have a stunning.
Well, I have my 1991 Buick Roadmaster estate wagon.
My
with the wood grain sides and the glass roof, and it seats
crazy.
Nine. But of course, that's where we're going to be living if the rent goes up anymore in this town. And then I have a 1986 Chrysler LeMaitre convertible.
Oh, my God.
It's oh, I love
this. This is the Corniche's baby.
Yeah, exactly. It's the Corniche's baby. It's white with a dove gray leather Mark Cross.
That's
actually
awesome.
I was I had a job selling cars in 1986. I was 24 years old. But I was an honest car salesman. I couldn't do it. Although I couldn't. Mm-hmm. You know, I couldn't lie to people. But I worked at a Chrysler dealership. And I was also the number one Yugo salesman in four states. If
Yugo.
Y'all remember.
Remember.
Oh, my God. Sure. It was humiliating. I try to talk people out of buying them. But anyway, the whole point about it is that this Chrysler is identical to the first brand new car that I ever bought for myself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's a really neat car.
I never knew that.
That's so cool.
Yeah. It's got every available factory option for 1986 except for the Town and Country fake wood on the sides.
AM/FM?
With a graphic equalizer, baby, and cassette player.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
That's nice.
And it's got the whole digital dash thing. Mm. And it's like this, it's a K car, which, you know, and that was what saved Chrysler from bankruptcy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But they're very, very rare.
Yeah.
You know, and same thing with the station wagon. And it's not, you know, and then, of course, I've got this 2-year-old Jetta with 4,000 miles on it, you know, because it's a long story. I just like cars. Cool. Back in Tennessee, I had a 68 cars. Bonneville convertible. Why did I sell that? 76 Sedan DeVille, 79 Seville. I mean, what was a little one? Seville, yeah. Anyway, what did I do?
Yeah.
Whatever. But yeah, and you're driving a Beamer now, right? You still got that. I just love this woman. Mm. I do.
I love you, Bob.
I love you too.
I'm leaving Robert and we're running away.
I know. I only tell people I'm queer so the women think they're safe.
Take the roles.
Right.
Well, thank you for having us.
Oh, thank you guys very, very much.
Thank you so much.
Listen, thank you. I'm glad that it coordinated with the premiere of your wonderful movie. And it's a pleasure to meet you both and new friends. And Sarah, thank you for being over there listening
my
in. Jody's BFF from where is it? San Francisco.
She's actually from England originally.
Well, we were supposed to be there now. We're going to because I want to drop to Bodega Bay and because The Birds is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Mm.
And go up to Napa to see my friend Liam and his lovely wife. But this friggin' sciatica is killing my ass. And
I didn't know that.
It's horrible.
I can give you a yoga exercise.
Please, pills, yoga, anything. I got one of those inversion teeter things hanging upside down.
I know you
but it sucks. And so, but the whole point of that about that on the Bob Dean Show, is that we're going to San Francisco at some point. I think we're going to take the train.
No, you should do that.
All right, so listen, kids. I'm so proud of you both.
Thank you.
Much success to you. Sammy Genio, thank you very much.
Thank
Zach Kernan in Bloomington. Dennis Olson. Kathy St. George, who left. You guys need to meet the group that just left, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
They are absolutely wonderful. And actors, actresses, and blah, 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 blah. So anyway, that's it for episode 71 of The Bob Dean Show.
Yay.
Please, please, please follow us on, subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow the show on iHeartRadio app. You can listen on Stitcher if you have an Android device like myself. With my SIM cards all full and shit, I don't know what the hell that means. And YouTube and BobTheSurlyComic.com. Thank you guys very much.
And don't forget Daddy Issues Movie.
Daddy Issues. Tell us again.
DaddyIssuesMovie.com. Daddy Issues on iTunes.
Yeah.
April 19th.
Thank you, Daddy.
Thank you.
Thank you all very, very much.
Bye.
Bye.